Are you able to hear me? Indra, are you able to hear me? Or Malini?
Yeah, I can hear you. I
You
can
can
hear
see
you.
the screen also, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gratitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshini Bhagavati Ashtadashadhyayini Amba Twamanusandadami Bhagavad Gite Bhavadveshini Namostute Vyasavishalabuddhe Pullaravindayatapatranetra Enatvayabharatatailapurnaha Prajvalitonyanamaya Pradipaha Prapanna Parijataya Totravetraikapanaye Jnanamudraya Krishnaya Gitamritaduhe Namaha Sarvopanishado Gao Dugdha Gopalanandanaha Parthovatsasudhi Bhokta Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat Vasudevasutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Bhishmadronatata Jayadrathajala Gandharanilotpala Shalyagrahavati Kripena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwatthama Vikarna Ghoramakara Duryodhanavartini Sothirna Khalu Pandavairananadi Kaivartaka Keshavah Parashariyavacha Sarojamamalam Gitartagandotkhatam Nanakhyanakakesaram Harikata Sambodhanabodhitam Loke Sajjana Shatpadairaharah Pepiyamanam Mudah Bhuyadbharata Pankajam Kalimala Pradvamsina Shreyase Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutah Stunvanti Divvistavai Vedai Sangapadakramopanishadai Gayanti Yam Samagah Dhyanavastitatadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginah Yasyantam Navidusurasuraganah Devaya Tasmai சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம் சோ up to the 35th verse of the third chapter, Lord Krishna was elaborately talking about the Karma Yoga sadhana and its greatness. So he pointed out that by leading a life of a Karma Yogi, a person will be able to accomplish all the four Purusharthas, and Karma Yoga is like a, literally like a Kamadenu who can fulfill all your desires, basically material prosperity as well as spiritual goal, right? Then Arjuna raised a question in the 36th verse, Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichannapi vashneya baladiva niyoditaha. Arjuna asked, O Krishna, then prompted by what does this person commit sin, even though unwilling, as though he is forcibly engaged? So Arjuna had this doubt. So if Karma Yoga is so great, how come many people don't take to it? There seems to be some powerful force in the human beings due to which the invisible, due to the invisible force, actually a person strays away from the wonderful way of life prescribed by the Gita, right? So what is that invisible force, right? That was the question, and we were actually looking at Krishna's response to it, which is what we got into in the last class. So Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhye Namiha Vairinam, right? So the Lord answered, he said, there is no outside devil or anything. Don't look for a ghost outside you. It is nothing but a powerful force within you only. And they are actually two, a pair, a complementary pair, that is in everyone. What is that? Kama esha krodha esha. Kama means powerful desire or passion, right? So as part of our life in this world, knowingly or unknowingly, voluntarily or involuntarily, we commit sins. In fact, if you are used to chanting the Shiva Manasa Puja, normally advised that you can at least chant in the night, and I think as part of introduction to Vedanta I've actually uploaded that. The last paragraph goes as Karacharana Kritam Va Kayajam Karmajam Va Shavana Nayanajam Va Manasam Va Paradam Vihitana Vihitam Va Sarvameta Shamasva Jaya Jaya Karunade Shri Mahadeva Shambho. Vihitana Vihitam Va Sarvameta Shamasva. In the night we say involuntarily or voluntarily, omissions and commissions, whatever I have done, please pardon me, right? So we consciously are aware that this can be a problem. Knowingly or unknowingly, voluntarily or involuntarily, we commit sins. In fact, as part of the Avani Avata Japam that we do, the men do once in a year on the Avani Avatam day, there is a particular japam called Kamokarshit japam, in which they say, Kamokarshit in Sanskrit means those acts that are out of desire, and Manyurakarshit means those acts that are committed out of anger. So it is a time for seeking forgiveness. Every year, at least once in a year, we consciously remind ourselves. Why do we do this? It reminds us that we should be aware, we should be careful and vigilant of these two powerful forces. And why are they a pair? We will see. Right? Kama, which is also called as ragaha, attachment or desire or passion to get something done. Right? And second one is krodaha, means anger. Right? Both are rajoguna samudbhavaha. Both are born out of saturation of rajoguna. Greater the rajoguna, kama and krodha are greater. While it is very good for acting, for, you know, doing work, for action it is very good, but it will also lead to kama and krodha coming up. Now, kama itself, the desire need not be necessarily bad. We will see that also, right? So, even though Krishna has enumerated two things, it is always only singular because it is different version of the same faculty only, right? Raga initially appears as kamaha, a desire, and then when the expectation does not get fulfilled, it will turn into anger, right? And in verse 34, we saw, right, likes and dislikes, indriyasthendriyaste ragadvesho vyavasthito. Likes and dislikes are bound to exist with regard to the object of every sense organ. One should not come under their control because they are his enemies. So according to our personality, we all will have natural desires, right? It's a choiceless faculty of human being. Animals are also confined to instinctive desires. Human being has got a free will and he can desire many more things. And as far as anger is concerned, it is the same karma which is getting obstructed which results in anger. Like a child wants chocolate and the mother says, I will not give, right? The child becomes violent with the mother, throwing a tantrum, right? How much anger will be there if you think it is directly proportional to the desire for the chocolate? So desire alone gets converted into anger, right? And handling one automatically helps in handling the other, right? So very, very important pair, kama and krodaha, right? And we have natural instincts which actually result in both kama and krodha, right? Now we are going to see these two powerful forces are there in the human mind and how do we learn to handle these two forces, right? So what do you mean by kama? Kama is nothing but Ichha Shaktihi, right? It's a unique faculty given by the Lord only for human beings, right? So Ichha Shaktihi or Kamaha. Ichha, Kama is nothing but Ichha Shaktihi. And Ichha Shaktihi is the faculty by which we desire, right? Now this is not necessarily bad. If we do not have a desire, we must remember that we will not have desire for Dharma, Artha, Kama as well as Moksha Purusharta. All four, right? So desire by itself is not bad, right? So the power for desire for various goals in various fields is definitely good, right? And in fact in Lalita Sahasranamam, the Devi is described as Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, right? We will see what is the importance of Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti. So in Lalita Sahasranama Stotram, we actually have a verse, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Swarupini, Sarvadhara, Supratishta, Sadasatrupa, Dharini, right? So we actually worship Goddess in the form of these three Shaktis. So for a minute also, we should not think that these three are bad, right? It is how we manage them. That is very important, right? For instance, if we want to do Pancha Maha Yajna, right? We definitely need Ichha Shakti because if we do not have Ichha Shakti, then we cannot even execute that, right? So only thing is, Bhagavan says, be careful, right? Let them be legitimate, ethical, right? Desires, right? And for that, Bhagavan has not only given us Ichha Shakti, but he has given us Kriya Shakti and Bhagavan has given us Jnana Shakti. Kriya Shakti is the action, the ability to do. And Jnana Shakti is the power of discrimination to find out which desires are healthy and good for all and which desires are unhealthy, unethical or immoral. Right? Very, very important point. As such, desires are not bad. Right? So, in Karma Yoga, the most important thing we should know is how to filter our desires. Right? Now, there are two types of desires, right? Sometimes I wonder how so much of analysis has been done by our great philosophers and Bhagavad Gita itself, right? Some of them, there are two types of desires. Some of them are acquired desires and some of them are desires born out of our own thinking, right? And desires are permanently generated also. Desires which are ethical and moral, unethical or immoral. Those two types are also there, right? Now, if we do not filter or edit the desire, it can become a huge fire that the unhealthy desire can consume anything, right? So, unethical kama, is enemy to karma yoga. And Lord Krishna says, the arrival of the desire is not a problem. But do you allow them to stay in your mind? Do you encourage by fantasizing? Do you nourish them? That alone is the problem. Once they become powerful, they will consume you. Therefore, when we refer to kamaha here, it is the unethical, illegitimate, immoral desire, which is the first enemy of karma yoga, right? Very, very important. And in the second chapter, we actually saw the four principles of karma yoga. Ride, if you remember. Ride was gradual reduction of adharmic activities. I is gradual, slowly in parallel, increased dharmic activities. D is dedicate all the actions to the Lord. And E is experience the result as Ishwara Prasada. The other way of remembering is ride, right? So, because unfulfilled desires can lead to anger, we must make sure that the desire itself in the first place is not, you know, allowed to go beyond, especially the unethical desires should not be allowed to grow too much, right? And for this, actually, I remember in one of the Shivaratri talks, Swamiji actually spoke about thought displacement technique. Thought displacement technique. He said, through meditation, you should actually develop the ability to displace a thought and replace it with the thought of what you wanted to occupy at that point in time. Very important, useful technique, but will come only by regular practice of meditation, right? So, next one is the anger. Anger is an enemy and it leads to impulsive action. Now, this is another part that is analyzed in great detail. Anger by itself is not bad, but anger as a response rather than reaction, right? Now, there are certain situations in which the anger is required. How you, you know, express it. Is it at kaika level, that is physical level, or is it at manasa level, or is it at verbal level? All these make a difference, right? The violent and sinful action will bring me down spiritually. It might get the work done, but spiritually, it will bring me down. If I am, you know, climbing a mountain and I am going step by step on the spiritual, you know, ladder or mountain, very easy to slip down because of anger. We can lose it in 1 second. And actually, krodha is also equally difficult to control as much as kamaha. People who have controlled one may think that it is easier to, you know, control the other one. No, it is not so. Both of them have their own problems, and based on our, rajoguna or sattvaguna mix, each one can have one kind of an issue or other. But it is important for us to be aware of this and act on it in a gradual manner. And Lord Krishna says karma yoga is the best way, and ride itself is a good way of managing this. But for unethical desires, the important point is we should not allow it to grow into a flame, right? That is, I grow into a fire, right? So the Lord replied, it is this desire, it is this anger, it is born out of rajoguna, it is insatiable and very sinful. So know this to be an enemy in this life. Continuing. Dhumena vriyate vanniha, dhumena vriyate vannihi, yatadarsho malena cha, yatol bena vrito garbah, yatol bena vrito garbah, tathati nidamavritam, tatatinidamavritam. Now, kama and krodha, that is desire and anger, will obstruct spiritual growth, which is the mechanism by which, right? The mechanism by which it obstructs is what is described in this verse, right? So, Bhagavan has given us Ichcha Shakti, right? And we have Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti, right? But we should have always, we should ask the question, do we have sufficient self-restraint to ask if this particular Ichha is right and the Kriya is appropriate, right? This is where the intellect comes into play, right? And desire is inside, right? And it is almost at the tip of the tongue. But we should know, we should have sufficient self-control and ask whether this desire is proper, whether I can utter these words. In fact, Krishna in 17th chapter, if I remember, is talking about four filters that you apply before speaking words. And he says, if you do that, automatically the amount of words you spend will also come down and your words will also be valued more and you won't get into any trouble, right? So, idam tene davartam. Idam means jnana shaktihi, which is important to restrain Ichha Shakti and Kriya Shakti. Both are controlled by Jnana Shakti and controlling power is Jnana Shakti, right? So, Dume Na Vriyate Vannihi. First example. Krishna is giving three examples here to show how your discriminative power is covered, right? First one is Dume Na Vriyate Vannihi. That means a flame of a lamp which is covered by thick smoke. Right? Dumaha means dark and thick smoke, right? So, what happens is when that light is covered by smoke, it loses its illumining power, right? So, Bhagavan has given us thinking power and when we get kama and that clouds our thinking power, that ability is gone, right? So, that is the first example that Krishna is giving. Dumena vriyate vannihi. Second is Yatha darsho malena cha, a mirror that has the capacity to reflect my face. Now, when the mirror is coated by dust, right, it covers the mirror's reflecting power, right? So, this is the second type. The buddhi is coated by dust called kamaha, right? Therefore, there is malena. Malena is dirt, right? Yatol vena vrito garbaha. This is the third type. A baby in the womb, right? A fetus is called garbaha. Here, in this context, it is the baby in the womb that is talked about, right? And the womb, the wall of the womb, as long as the baby is in the womb, it will not be able to do anything. Only when the baby comes out, it can grow and accomplish. Now, the point communicated here is, for those 9 months, there is no option. The baby cannot come out and do anything. So, the buddhi shakti is suppressed by some other desire, right? Now, Swamiji gave a very, very important example when he talked about this. He's telling there may be a brilliant child, a very important point, in say standard 11 or 12. Suddenly, the boy or girl gets into some kind of infatuation with another boy or girl. Till that infatuation goes, right, the brilliance of the boy or the girl or the studies, everything is impacted. And you cannot do anything about it until the infatuation goes. There is a time. And then only the child's brilliance comes out again. So he actually used this example. And of course he didn't go to this extent to explain. But I thought I should do that. So basically by these three examples, what is Lord Krishna trying to communicate? The power of the kama or desire is in varying degrees that it can be compared to just a cover around the flame or a dust in the mirror, or it can be something that is stuck in the womb and you need to give it time to come out, right? Lord Krishna is giving all the three examples here. So this knowledge is covered by that desire in such a way that fire is enveloped by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, as a fetus is enveloped by the womb, right? So let's move on to the next verse. Avritam jnana metena, avritam jnana metena, jnanino nitya vairina, jnanino nitya vairina, kama rupena kaunteya, kama rupena kaunteya, Dushpurenanalena cha. So by these unethical desires, right, here fully Krishna is speaking only about unethical desires, the Jnana Shakti or Viveka Shakti is enveloped and concealed, right? It is a Vairina, means enemy to spiritual growth, enemy to spiritual seeker, and it is an internal enemy which is worse than an external one, right? Very, very important point, right? Now, the other point is, even when a desire, when it is obstructed, it doesn't get fulfilled, it will get converted into anger. Now, when it gets fulfilled, it gets converted to greed. That is how all these scams are happening, right? The small unethical desire may start with hundreds of rupees and may end in thousands and crores or even more than that, right? So that is how the scams happen, because once the desire gets, the unethical desire gets fulfilled, it leads you to further do mistakes and the greed takes over at that point and your intellect is completely clouded, right? So Swamiji talks about how even a king is not happy because he wants to become an emperor, right? And he says even Indra is not happy because Indra is a post. So he wants to become Brahma. And then he says, okay, Brahma is not happy because he wants to become Vishnu. Vishnu is not happy because he wants to become Shiva. So you can keep on and on and on. Desires will keep on changing, right, as you get one. So in fact, it requires a lot of maturity and spiritual maturity to actually get over this desire. So in Kathopanishad, right, a 9-year-old boy declares this. When his guru Yamadharma Raja offers all the sense pleasures free of cost, gold, palace, I will give you in the middle of Chennai, maybe a bungalow, I will, you know, get all Ramba, Urvashi and Menaka to serve you, musical instruments, everything, right? But don't ask for Gita, don't ask for moksha. He keeps on, telling this boy and tempting him, but he doesn't get tempted at all, right? And he tells, right? Very interesting. He says, Sarvam Jivitam Alpameva Tavaiva Vaha Navan Ritya Gite. All of these music, dance, etc. are all Alpam. And man is never satisfied by wealth. Navitena Tarpaniyo Manushyaha. This 9-year-old boy tells. The normal human beings will not be able to get this kind of maturity at that age or even much later, right? Similarly, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also, we see that Yajnavalkya offers everything to his wife Maitreyi. But she asked the question, will these possessions give me security? Right? What the spiritual journey and moksha offers is peace, security and happiness, as we have seen. Right? So, therefore, he says, Dushpurena, it is insatiable. One can never get contentment with any amount of wealth. It is like fire. It will consume you ultimately. Right? So it is insatiable and kama or desire can consume you, right? But it is important that you do not renounce the kama, but you refine your kama sooner or later. May your kama be moksha kama. Once this desire comes, we are almost close to our destination. If you remember in the 4 D's that we studied as part of preparation for self-inquiry in the very first session of Vedanta or some 5th session, we actually studied about the 4 D's, right? Desire for moksha being a very important qualification for the pursuit of spiritual journey, right? So, jnanino nitya vairina. So, kama is a permanent enemy for a spiritual seeker. Again, here kama means non-spiritual desires, right? So, that is important to note, right? Now, therefore, for an informed person, this is the greatest enemy, right? Better thing is to learn to handle in the beginning itself so that you do not allow it to become too big and become firmly grounded, right? Very, very important. So, O Arjuna, knowledge is covered by this wheel which is in the form of desire, which is like the insatiable fire and which is the permanent enemy of the wise, right? Continuing, Indriyani Mano Buddhihi, Indriyani Mano Buddhihi. బుద్ధిః అస్యాదిష్టానముచ్యతే అస్యాదిష్టానముచ్యతే ఏతైర్విమోహయత్తేషః ఏతైర్విమోహయత్తేషః జ్ఞానమావృత్య దేహినం జ్ఞానమావృత్య దేహినం. Now, up to those 39th verse, Krishna established the fact that kama and krodha are obstacles to spiritual growth. Right? Now, we are all convinced that these two are obstacles, right? Therefore, we should handle them. Now, what is the next natural question? How do I handle, right? So, we cannot avoid or stop the arrival of the desires. So our question is how do I restrain them or manage them so that they don't become overwhelmingly powerful enough to consume me, right? Very, very important. So Krishna wants to give the answer. There are three factors that nourish them, right? You have to go to them, and by handling those three factors, you can control kama. So indriyani, manaha and buddhihi. What are they? The sense organs, the mind and the intellect. The sense organs are the first powerful forces. And if you remember right in the chariot examples, right, they are the horses, right? The powerful sense organs can put a variety of sense objects into the mind, right? They are the gateway for pushing the world into the mind. So sense organs are the first forces. The second one, it's like a relay race, right? Once sense organs put the objects inside the mind, right, the baton has been handed over to the mind. Then the mind goes on, right? Even though the object is no more within the range of the sense organs, objects have gone away, the mind can keep or project it or fantasize the object. That is the mind's job, right? And it will small fire, know how it keeps on like the when you blow, it makes it big. Like that, the mind's job is to make the desire so powerful. And once it becomes too powerful, it is stronger than me, right? When it is a flame, I can put it out. When it's a fire, I cannot put it out. So, mind converts the flame into a conflagration. And once flame has become conflagration, we cannot destroy it, right? So, what happens? If you cannot defeat your enemy, join them. So, intellect will begin to justify your desires. Even unethical desires. In support of those unethical desires and fulfilling them, right? That's all. The intellect will start going behind that, and after that, Bhagavan cannot help at all. And we are doomed for this life. Better luck next janma, right? So, indriyani, manaha, buddhihi. Very, very important in that order, right? So, sense organs and the mind nourish the intellect, and the intellect justifies and supports. So these three are the adhishtanam, or the base, or the foundation for kama, right? So vimokhyati, this desire, especially the unethical, immoral, unhealthy desire, like addiction to junk food, addiction to cola, right? Actually, you sit back and think about this particular aspect that I said, so many of your own examples will come to your mind, right? On this desire, the intellect actually getting so clouded that it will start legitimizing the desires, whatever the mind has fed, right? So they delude the human beings and they enslave the human beings, and normally good thinking human beings will get completely clouded, right? But how are they able to do it? Because jnanam avritya, temporarily they suppress the thinking power. This is called blind spot, right? Now take Ravana. He had this problem, right? He was a Samavedi. He could sing Samaganam. He was a learned person. He was a Brahmana by birth, a great Shiva Bhakta, right? And he had made Lord Shiva give him darshanam. Everything he did, but he had a blind spot. When it came to Sita, all advisors of ministers fell in deaf ear. That was his problem, right? Therefore, all the Rakshasas, if you see in our Puranas, if you carefully observe, they are all very well educated people, even scripturally educated people, right? Duryodhana also, I know Dharma, but I will not follow, right? Bhishma, Vidura, right? Krishna could not save Duryodhana. Everybody tried speaking to Duryodhana, right? So even all our Rakshasas. Therefore, it is the buddhi that gets deluded by the sense organs. Very, very important point. Continuing. Tasmat vamindriyanyado. Tasmat vamindriyanyado. Niyamya bharatarshava. Niyamya bharatarshava. Papmanam prajahihyenam. Papmanam prajahihyenam. Jnana vijnana nashanam. Jnana vijnana nashanam. Right? So, Lord Krishna says, any desire in general, but all unethical desires in particular, are generated by three factors, which is the Indriya, Indriyani, Manaha and Buddhi. Right? And they have a wonderful group venture with total understanding. So, they all join together and they become a powerful force. Right? So, how do they work together? First initiative is taken by the sense organs and then that's the first runner. Right? So, from Indriyani, it goes to mind. Right? And the mind can, as such, can never develop any desire without the help of the sense organ, because the mind doesn't come in direct contact with the object unless it is a vasana generated desire, which comes from purva janma vasana, right? So five powerful sense organs, their job is, right, sending the external world of sense pleasures in the form of shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, right? Shabda is words, sparsha touch, rupa is form, rasa is taste and gandha smell, right? Now, smell is so very critical that Swamiji gives a very beautiful example. They all went for a camp to Rishikesh, I believe, right? And there was a garden and Swamiji along with some 40-50 students, they were just taking a walk around the garden. So, suddenly Swamiji turned this side, okay, and he found all the students missing. What had happened was, for 10 days they were in the camp in Rishikesh and they were all from Tamil Nadu, right? So, or Andhra Pradesh, they had all gone there. So, they were craving for South Indian food, obviously. They had suppressed it and there was a masala vada counter there somewhere, right? So, they actually found the smell from the masala vada and automatically all of them disappeared, leaving Swamiji alone in the garden, right? So, Swamiji had no choice but to follow them to go find this student. So, the point that he was trying to say is, it is such an important gateway, the sense organ, that it can pull you, make you act in a totally different manner, right? If you are not aware in consciousness and conscious. It's exactly like a cyclone just taking away so many things that come in the way, right? So, when the desire becomes very powerful, then the mind has already done its job and the intellect gets too clouded and it becomes feeble, right? So instead of putting down that particular desire, it also starts justifying the desire. So therefore, Arjuna, don't allow the desire to reach the third lap. Basically, the third lap meaning from sense organs to mind to intellect. At sense organ level itself, may you handle them so that they don't enter the mind. So, therefore, what is the best solution? Controlling the sense organs. So, start a disciplined spiritual way of life by observing the habit that we have. What are the books we read? What are the magazines that we read? What are the TV programs we watch? Websites we browse? The serials we watch? What are the movies that we go to? Type of entertainment we have? Who are our friends, right? At all these levels, may you start filtering. Anywhere there is a possibility for temptation, keep far away from there, right? Most powerful method is prevention. Prevention is better than cure, right? In Tamil, they say, varumun kaapom, right? So, let's be careful before it enters, right? So, that is very, very important. O Arjuna, therefore, restraining the sense organs, first, may you give up this sinful one, which is the destroyer of jnana and vijnana, right? Now, Kama can only be handled by handling Indriyam, as I told you, first, then Manaha, then Buddhihi, right? Now, it is very important for us to understand that Damaha, Shamaha and Vivekaha are most important. What is Damaha? Damaha is sense control and Shamaha is mind control. Both these are very, very important. Now, if you remember and recall, we saw this in detail in introduction to Vedanta as part of the four preparatory disciplines, right? So, I'll just quickly go to those slides and then, you know, we can come back to this slide. Okay. Now, you can find this in talk 5 of introduction to Vedanta. We studied about Sadhana Chatushtayam and the fourth discipline which we studied there was Shamadhi Shatka Sampattihi. Right? You can go back and refer to these slides because they are very, very important. And in Shamadhi Shatka Sampattihi, right, I'll just go to that slide. Shamaha is thought discipline at the mind level and Damaha is sense control, right? Both these are very, very important, right? So, Damaha is obtained by controlling our sense organs, right? And that's what I was speaking about the other day. By fasting regularly, right, you're able to control your tongue. So, for each of the sense organs, if we plan something and actually have a discipline of, you know, restraining and controlling them gradually, right? Fasting is for eating, right, to control that tongue. Then not complaining about food. Then similarly, not speaking, observing maunam, that is vak. Like that, each one if we are able to. And then saying no to internet and TV on a particular day, right? You take a vratam and you say you want to. Do that kind of controls, which are, you know, a planned gradual restraint, will help you in getting Damaha. Now, Shamaha is thought discipline. Now, what I have observed is practicing yoga and then practicing breath control helps, and of course, sense control helps in meditation. And when you are in meditation to control the thoughts, you obviously need to have breath control and you must be able to sit in a posture and also at will displace, because thoughts will come. You cannot empty thoughts completely, but you should be able to be aware of the thoughts and have that kind of control. So, the Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha and Samadhanam. These are the six that we spoke about under the Sadhana Chatushtayam section when we were doing Introduction to Vedanta. I have reproduced the same slides and I will put them up also. But being important, I think it is important for us to actually go back and revise this portion, right? So, we'll go back to where we were. Since this is very important, I thought I must, you know, take this time to explain this, right? So, Shamaha, Damaha and then Vivekaha. Vivekaha is the discriminatory discipline, right? Which will help us in controlling or managing the desires, right? So, tasmat, therefore, in the beginning itself, may you master all the sense organs, right? And you make sure that it doesn't become a big flame, right? So, big fire, very, very important. Now, the important reason why Krishna is speaking about this is, here if you see, there is a word on jnana, vijnana, right? You can see that, which is a destroyer of jnana and vijnana. You should understand the difference between jnana and vijnana. Very important. Jnana is nothing but atma jnanam. There is atma, right? And there is shariratrayam. Atma is different from shariratrayam. That is jnanam, right? So, jnanam is understanding that there is a consciousness principle which is different from that of the body. The sthula shariram, sukshma shariram and karana shariram. Later, this has to be converted to vijnanam by reversing the order. First is, I am the body, I have an atma within, right? Now, the vijnanam is, I am the atma, I have an incidental body outside me temporarily, right? So that is Vijnanam. To convert Jnanam into Vijnanam, right? Both these are needed, and both these knowledge will not take place if the mind is obsessed with worldly desires, right? Especially unethical and immoral desire. But you must remember that Vijnanam is, in fact, way ahead of Jnanam, right? So even for Jnanam, it's a problem, right? So therefore, we have to make sure that we manage our desires. Indriyani paranyahuhu. Indriyani paranyahuhu. Indriyebhya param manah. Indriyebhya param manah. Manasastu para buddhihi. Manasastu para buddhihi. Yo buddhi paratastu sah. Yo buddhi paratastu sah. Now, in the previous shloka, right, we saw that Jnanam is the knowledge of Atma and Vijnanam is the knowledge in the form of Atma, I am the Atma, right. So, the topic of Atma we discussed in Tattva Bodha. We also discussed in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita from verses 12 to 25. Seven descriptions we saw, right. If you remember, you must remember at all times. Atma, Satyaha, Nityaha, Akarta, Abokta, Sarvagataha, Aprameyaha, Nirvikaraha, right? So, Lord Krishna knows that we, along with Arjuna, would have forgotten, right? So, Lord Krishna just wants to give us a brief reminder about the nature of Atma by analyzing our personality in just one shloka, right? So, Lord Krishna says, Indriyani paranyahuhu. We have got a physical body through which we interact with the world, which is not said in the shloka here. We have to actually add. So the grossest personality is the physical body, right? And superior to this body are the sense organs, because he is discussing only sense organs here. So he has not added that. He assumes that we know that there are sense organs which are beyond body, which belongs to Sukshma Shariram. Body belongs to Stula Shariram, right? So, superior to the body is the sense organ. And because sense organs alone lead the body from one place to another, we must be aware of the very presence of the sense organs which are in the body. And therefore, sense organs are considered to be superior to the body because they are the ones which instigate the body to move from one place to another or direct the mind from one place to another. So, this is Stula Shariram and sense organs belong to Sukshma Shariram. Sukshma Indriyani is superior to Stula, right? So, then Indriyebhyaha Param Manaha. Superior to the sense organ, we have got the mind. Why is mind superior? Because mind alone decides which sense organ should function. A very important point. If the mind is not there behind a sense organ, what will happen? The sense organ will be open, the golakam, the physical part will be open, but no sensory perception will happen. You would have noticed, some people, you know, we will walk in front of us, they know us, but they will not recognize us. They will have a blank look. What does that mean? The mind is not behind the particular sense organ, right? Very important. Similarly, even ears, our ears may be here. If we are not listening, because the mind is elsewhere, then the sense organ is not going to function, right? So, the mind is the one that directs the sense organs. Therefore, the mind is superior to sense organs. Manasastu para buddhihi. Superior to the mind is buddhihi, the intellect, because among many faculties of the mind, right, one is the doubting faculty. We have studied this in detail in Tattva Bodha. So, if you go to the section on Sukshma Shariram and you can study about the various faculty, roles of the mind, etc. Right? Mind has a lot of work. One of the portfolios is doubting. Buddhihi has got the thinking power and by getting clear knowledge and conviction and through determination, intellect can remove the doubt between the mind and intellect. So, intellect is considered to be superior because it helps in making a decision. Right? And it removes the doubt. Right? Since doubt can be conquered by knowledge, clear doubtless knowledge, which the buddhi is behind, is supposed to be superior to mind, right? So in Tattva Bodha, we saw about Pancha Kosha also, right? We saw Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, which is buddhi, which is superior, right? To Manomaya Kosha. Thus, we had all these layers of personality, right? So, sense organs are Indriyani and Manaha is superior to sense organs. Buddhihi is superior to that also, right? So, Lord Krishna says, superior to all of these is Saha, Atma, right? So, Yaha Buddhihi Paraha, that which is superior to all these four or five, if you include your body also, is Saha, means Atma. So, Lord Krishna will clarify in the next shloka that Saha means Atma. Atma, the spiritual principle, is superior to all the layers of personality because all these different layers are made up of matter, right? Mind, intellect, sense organs, the body, they are all made up of matter. So, if we remember Tattva Bodha, in the second part elaborately speaks about Srishti. And how, you know, Pancha Bhutas are born from Maya principle. And from Pancha Bhutas, how Pancha Bhautikam, right, come around. And then from there, how the subtle bodies are created. If you revise Tattva Bodha, it will be very, very useful. That is, Tattva Bodha means introduction to Vedanta. We have done sessions on creation. We have done sessions on Sula, Sukshma, Karana, Shariram, etc. And also Koshas, etc. Right? So there we saw that we saw that all koshas, right, are material in nature. And what did we see? The spiritual principle. They all have to be blessed by a spiritual principle, which alone converts the inert body, mind, sense organs into sentient principle. And we discussed this example also, how the moon on a powerful Purnami night becomes a bright moon. Not because moon has light. It has actually got borrowed light from the sun. Similarly, the body, mind, sense organs are like the moon. They don't have consciousness of their own. Atma lends life sentiency, chaitanyam to all without Atma. They are all jadam otherwise. What is the nature of Atma? Atma is of the nature of consciousness, right? We saw the five features of consciousness. Consciousness is not a part, product or property of the body. It's an independent principle which pervades and enlivens the body. Consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. Consciousness survives even after the disintegration of the body. The surviving consciousness is not accessible to us, not because it is absent, but because there is no body medium for it to manifest. Right? And this consciousness principle is called Atma. That is what Lord Krishna is saying. So, may you get Jnanam and Vijnanam. Right? Understand that. First you understand I have an Atma. Later you move to I am the Atma. Therefore, Arjuna, by going through Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, may you get Jnanam as well as Vijnanam. Evam buddhe param buddhva, evam buddhe param buddhva, samsabhyatmanam atmana, samsabhyatmanam atmana, jahi shatrum mahabaho, jahi shatrum mahabaho, kamarupam durasadam, kamarupam durasadam. Arjuna, the aim of spiritual journey consists of karma yoga and jnana yoga, and not one of them but sequentially. So the aim of every spiritual seeker is atma jnanam and atma vijnanam, right? So atmanam buddhva, may you know that atma, which is your own real nature, which is your spiritual nature. You are a spiritual being, not the disintegrated, decaying material body. Swamiji always quotes one spiritual author, you are not a human being seeking spiritual experience, but you are a spiritual being temporarily having a human experience. human experience will last only as long as the body lasts, but I, as the spiritual being, am eternal. Therefore, Atmanam Buddhva, may you know, Buddhehe Param, which is superior to all the principles mentioned before, the superior body, sense organs, mind, intellect, etc. Atma is the one which is superior, which lends life to all of them. Like the electricity principle that is present in the gadget, it manifests only when the switch is switched on. Similarly, it manifests in the body when the prarabdha karma is maturing. Otherwise, without the body, there is no medium through which the consciousness can manifest, right? And how do you know this? Jnana Yoga has three stages, Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So you go through a consistent and systematic study of Vedantic scriptures for a length of time under the guidance of a competent acharya. If possible, take notes, revise. This is Shravanam. Then Mananam and Nididhyasanam are for us to gain enough conviction in this knowledge, right? Very, very important. And I want to use this body, but I don't want to get attached to the body. I don't want to claim that I am the body, right? God is the owner of this body and God is free to take it away without notice, right? At any point in time. As long as I have this body, let me utilize that to go through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So, both of them. Now here, Krishna is saying, may you fix your mind on the Atma with the help of mind itself. It is nothing but claiming I am the Atma. And initially what we do is to get here, he adds an additional note, Krishna, right? To get here, initially we eliminate the unethical desire and replace them with ethical desires. So according to Veda, ethical desire also can be a cause of bondage. The only difference is this is a golden bondage, another is an iron bondage. Therefore, even ethical desires can create anxiety, right? So, moksha is not elimination of ethical desire, but converting them into non-binding desires, right? So what do we mean by non-binding desires? If it happens, it's fine. If it doesn't happen, it is fine. The benefit I have from this is total fulfillment, right? So as a fulfilled person, I still continue to, you know, take care of ethical desires because now they are non-binding, right? So this conversion, right, is very, very important. So Krishna says, Buddhva Samstabhya, by discovering total fulfillment in your heart through the knowledge, spiritual knowledge alone can give this total fulfillment. May you conquer the ethical desires also, which can cause bondage, right? So Kama Rupam, it's your enemy, Shatrum, Durasadam, which cannot be totally fulfilled, right? Even in the ethical desires, the more you do, you would like to continue to do more only, right? So, very, very important point. Swami Chinmayananda, I believe, used to give this example, right? So, there is a particular group which used to help in taking care of people who are affected by cyclone every year, right? So, one year, I believe, they told Swamiji that, you know, the last few years, we have been doing all this great work, but this year, you know, unfortunately, we could not do anything because there was no cyclone. See how even a ethical desire can be a problem, right? This hits you when you hear. You should be happy that there was no cyclone, right? Very important, right? So, convert all the ethical desires also into non-binding desires. Jnanis also have desires. This is the biggest difference. And Lord Krishna wants to teach this to Arjuna. Right? Now even Shankaracharya had desire of writing commentaries, establishing matas, temples, etc. But it is not a cause for samsara. So Arjuna, what is your goal? Weed out unethical desires and convert ethical desires into non-binding one. By discovering Aham Purna Atma Asmi, is such people are wonderful people because whole life is meant for others. We talked about Loka Sangraha, right? Because they don't want anything for themselves. commerce ultimately handled through spiritual knowledge only. With this, Lord Krishna concludes his answer to Arjuna's question, which was raised in verse 36, what is causing people to act, etc. And with this, the third chapter is over. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su. Upanishad Su. Upanishad Su. Brahma Vidyayam. Brahma Vidyayam. Yoga Shastre. Yoga Shastre. Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. Karma Yogo Nama Tritiyodhyayah. Karma Yogo Nama Tritiyodhyayah. Thus ends the third chapter named Karma Yoga in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of the Upanishads, which deals with Brahman knowledge as well as the preparatory disciplines, and which is in the form of a dialogue between Lord Krishna and Arjuna. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Any questions? Let me first see the hand symbol. Yeah, there are some questions. Superior to buddhi is atma, not able to realize that part in the real life. Do you have any approach to realize that? This is the long spiritual journey that we have to undertake, right? So, while the knowledge itself sounds very simple, right? Aham, atma, right? Two words. It's a very long journey which comes through years of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, as well as Upasana Yoga, etc. I am also on one such journey. That's why I always, I call myself as a Vidyarthi only. I am also on this journey. All of us will get there one day. Make sure that you have that conviction in yourself and, you know, we work on it in a systematic manner. How do we know our own Vasanas? Lakshmi. Actually, you can make out, once you are on this spiritual journey, what happens is, for the first time in your life, at least in my case, that's what happened, you start being aware of your thoughts in your mind, right, before you do something. Earlier, you don't even, especially if you're a Rajoguna person, you don't even wait to think or observe your mind and thoughts. With this spiritual education program, you start doing that. And then you start feeling that sometimes the number of occasions will come down with spiritual education, but sometimes you feel that you are reacting while you don't want to actually react, right? Those are coming from your vasanas, right? And it is very difficult to address the vasanas. First is our thoughts which are voluntary, and then the involuntary thoughts which come from the vasanas. But we can definitely address that with long years of upasana. An ideal leader should have more sattva or rajoguna. It is okay. You can have a combination of both. Leaders can have both. You can see both these in organizations as you start observing. There are people who can switch ideally between the two also. And when they are active in work life, the Rajoguna is more predominant. But when they come back and they sit for classes, they are able to fully concentrate and absorb. This is a very great trait, and I think we can develop that with Upasana Yoga in parallel with our active work life. Let me just quickly, yeah, I think we've covered all the questions here. Let me just check the, if anybody has a hand raised symbol. I think there's nobody with a raised hand symbol. Okay. Now, next week we will be doing a summary of chapter 3. I will also try and introduce chapter 4 if we have time in the next class. And then we will move on to the fourth chapter, which is a different kind of chapter. It does talk about avatars, etc. So, next week, same time. Thank you. Dhanyavada.